and have home field advantage throughout the NFC, the NFL playoffs. So, going to be a cold and nippy one. I don't know what it's going to be like in Detroit. Is it Detroit or Detroit? I don't know. All right, here we go with Robert Pilate. And I know he would say, remember, you are the resistance if you're listening to this tonight. In the words of that famous philosopher, John Connor from the Terminator saga. Okay, just being silly. Here we go. Robert Pilate, Native Roots Radio.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilate. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, before we get our friend Robert Lilligren on that we haven't talked to, it seems like, in 3 months, but we want to take a quick listen to our friend Governor Evers from the great state of Wisconsin. Why don't we take a listen?
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update.
The best and most important part of my job as governor is meeting with Wisconsinites to hear about the issues that matter most to them and find solutions to the challenges we face. An important part of that work is getting out of the Capitol to meet people where they are, at every corner of our state, at their homes and businesses, schools and campuses, farms, hospitals, community gatherings, and so much more. That's why I made it my goal to visit all 72 counties every year as governor, and I'm proud that this year we have wrapped up my fifth 72-county tour since taking office. I've had the opportunity to see good work happening all across the state, from groundbreaking for new affordable housing in the city of Viroqua to fixing potholes in Green Bay to efforts to close the digital divide and expand access to high-speed internet in River Falls. I met with veterans and veteran service organizations like those in Eau Claire and Nina who are using therapy horses to help veterans heal from PTSD. I've talked with employers in Sheboygan, Tomahawk, and Chippewa Falls about our efforts to attract, train, and retain workers in our state and build the workforce needed to support a 21st century economy. I've toured healthcare systems and talked with healthcare providers about how we're going to help ensure folks and families across our state have access to the affordable, high-quality health care they deserve. I visited our schools and classrooms to hear from students and educators about what they're working on and excited about at school. Heck, I even paddled a dugout canoe with Ho-Chunk Nation, made a pizza at a pizza farm in Athens, and visited the world's largest talking cow, Chatty Bell, in Neillsville. And believe me, ate plenty of ice cream cones along the way. Folks, Wisconsin will never cease to amaze me, and it's a privilege to be your governor and to travel the state to hear your stories. So thank you for welcoming me into your homes, businesses, and communities this year, and let's do it again in 2025. Take care, folks.
Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, wow, big peeny geegy, Governor Evers. That was a fun update. Hey, we have our friend Robert Lilligren on. Robert Lilligren is president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And Wow, Robert, I haven't seen you in a while. How you been doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Robert. Hey, Haley, bonjour. And it hasn't been 3 months, but it's been a couple weeks, yeah, since I've been here. So it's good to be back.
Well, excellent. And it's fun. We talked a lot of political yesterday with Arvina Martin of Madison, Wisconsin, Ho-Chunk. And we were really kind of bummed out about this Matt Gaetz thing. And then all of a sudden, shazam.
Shazam, right? And no big surprise. I have a feeling there'll be quite a few of these Trump nominees that aren't going to make it even up to appointment that are going to be dropping out. That's my feeling. I thought Matt Gaetz would be the first to go, and he was.
Awesome. So I have a question. I don't know if you can answer this or if it has anything to do with the governor down there in Florida, but can he unresign? Do you know?
Or would
the governor put him back in because they have fines?
All being sorted out, right? I doubt that he could unresign, and really I doubt that he would want to. I mean, his resignation so far is what's saving his investigation report from being released. I have a hunch that will find its way into the public discourse before too long. So I think it was a smart move for him to resign just to kind of protect himself. I don't think you can really unresign from something like that, but he could be appointed to something if there's a vacancy, or, you know, Trump is saying he has a brilliant future, you know, ahead. So, yeah. So I think there's so many moving parts here. It's so sort of unprecedented, right? So we'll have to see how this plays out.
Well, it's interesting too. I mean, not only the big sex scandal that he has going on, but also he never really litigated anything. He just went right from law school to politics, and so
right. So yeah, scary. And you know, he had a political father. You know that, right? He's a nepo baby in politics, so he's kind of riding that. And. And he just seems like a really despicable person. As more and more facts come out, and they'll keep coming out, his whole investigation, his whole underage sex scandal thing, it just gets worse and worse.
Definitely. Well, Robert, we haven't talked since the election, and I know we were going to get together, and it was interesting that night was it didn't look good from the get-go. And so we didn't jump online and talk about it. And now we haven't talked since. There's been we took a week off here from Native Roots Radio because I don't know, Haley, but I was shell shocked and had to regroup. But I feel rested and ready to go and back in the groove. And so how do you feel? I know there's a lot of things to be grateful for that we're still doing.
Yeah, right. And, you know, I feel I'm trying to feel as optimistic as I can and trying to encourage others to feel as optimistic as they can. And, you know, we know we're in for 4 hard years, 4 chaotic, bumpy years. And as I've been telling my staff at Native American Community Development Institute and others, you know, I think a theme of the next 4 years is going to be resist, right? Resistance. Yeah. I've actually been wearing your resist t-shirt quite a bit lately just to reinforce that, that feeling. And, you know, in some ways, lucky for us as Native people, resistance is not an unusual thing, right? Yeah. We're accustomed to that. We've lived in that for decades, centuries. And so I think we'll at least have that advantage over maybe some people who aren't used to having to live in resistance. So there's that, you know, and this harkens back to my time on the Minneapolis City Council, and I represented a beautifully diverse ward that had a lot of lower wealth people, you know, working people and things. And during my 12 years on the Minneapolis City Council, we had 2 economic downturns, kind of severe ones. And I would kind of jokingly say, you know, hey, my constituents are used to living, you know, poor. This is going to be easy for us. And the data showed, in a lot of ways, that was actually true. And it wasn't as big of a negative impact on the people I represented it as it was in the higher wealth people. So I feel like, you know, again, as Native people, we have a lot of experience and, you know, our famous resiliency, and I suspect that Native people are going to show a way to hopefully thrive in this. And at Native American Community Development Institute, we made a commitment to laughter in yes. our daily lives, and we'll get through.
Yeah, definitely. I want to talk to you a little bit. We're going to take a quick break, but yeah, I'll ask you the question when we get back, because I'm curious about your response, because again, you were in government during this time, and I was going to talk about, well, I'll just say it real quick. We got 30 seconds and then you can respond when we come back, is that 2004, we had Bush 2 and a wipeout there. And then in 2006, we had the blue wave of the House and the Senate. In 2008, we had Obama. So I'm hopeful with the history.
You're here.
We'll be right back. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, our White Earth Ojibwe friend, and we'll be right back.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American and Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Yes, we really appreciate their support, and what a great organization they are. Hey, we have our special guest today, and I really do mean that today. Special guest, we have Shannon Housley, who's a president at a Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians, and Kate Nelson, an award-winning independent journalist. And really good to see you again, President. Long time no see.
It has, and congratulations on those new beautiful grandbabies, Robert.
Oh, really appreciate it. We get to watch them every Wednesday and Thursday, so.
You and Wendy have to be thrilled by that, huh?
Oh, definitely. You know, a little apprehensive at first, because, and then you just can't stop but love them.
That's right.
You just can't wait to see them, and every week is different, and it's amazing. But enough about me. You guys have a big event coming up here, Uplifting Native Voices, here in Minneapolis, and in one of my favorite buildings.
We do. We have the What She Said panel coming up. It's part of a global speaker series hosted in the Fouché Tower, you know, one of the most iconic buildings in downtown Minneapolis. And in honor of Native American Heritage Month, the focus is on uplifting Native voices. And, you know, what's more Indigenous than speaking with a panel of strong matriarchs here in the Twin Cities.
Absolutely. And I love the Fouché Tower. And welcome, Kate. I didn't see you there. You don't have your camera on, so I didn't see you. So welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, this is awesome. Let's talk a little bit more about this. It's a series of conversations. Kate, do you want to take it from there, and then I'll get back to the president?
Sure. You know, like I mentioned, it really is going to be a free-flowing discussion. I mean, you know, we could probably go on for hours, but it'll be a free-flowing discussion. Doors open at 5. The speaker panel starts at 6:30. It should be a really delightful, robust conversation, but also an honest conversation about some of the issues that our tribal communities face. And, you know, I think some of the topics that are front of mind for us. And in addition to that, there's also going to be a marketplace of Indigenous owned businesses that are, you know, offering all of their handmade goods. So it should be a wonderful evening.
Yeah, that's awesome. And President Housley, one of the things we always like to talk about is how, you know, our allies too that come to these things. If these things are for sale, they're for everybody. So don't be afraid, but to purchase these.
Absolutely, supporting Indigenous people is also engaging in this evolution of what we've seen, Robert, where there has been with Indigenous community entrepreneurship since time immemorial. You know, from the original contact. You know, but we're seeing an evolution of, you know, our artists really finding a way to support themselves and do something that they're so passionate about. But as you know, Robert, it tells our story in a different way. It is not just to be enjoyed, but there is collectively a story behind everything that is made by Indigenous artists. And there's a story to be told and a story to be shared. And it's a beautiful thing. And sometimes, as we navigate, to your point, allies, sometimes that's the safest place to start because it invokes the conversation. It invokes, you know, what that piece is telling us. And it comes from the lens of the artist and their lived experience. So it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really is. Kate, we got Shelley Buck and Sharon Day and yourself and Shannon, President Shannon Housley. That sounds like a great panel.
Well, in building on, you know, what Shannon mentioned, it really is about, I think, breaking down some of those stereotypes that are just so commonly held about our tribal communities, you know, that our experiences and our cultures are a monolith. And I think you're going to find that, you know, even in the discussion, that we're all bringing our own lived experiences to that conversation. And, you know, you bring 5 strong, Indigenous, outspoken women into a room, and we're not necessarily all going to have the exact same perspective on topics, which I think is the beautiful thing about, you know, what we're seeing and having Indigenous voices amplified, is that it's showcasing again just that range of our identities, our perspectives, our approaches.
Well, that's a really good point, Kate, that, you know, there are 570 recognized tribes, and we all don't do the same thing the same way, but we're pretty similar, but not really.
Exactly. You know, there are definitely shared values. What I like to say is, you know, if anyone approaches me and says, well, you guys must all know each other. And I say, no, we don't. But the funny thing is, there aren't that many degrees of separation, especially, you know, in a place like the Twin Cities, where we have such a, you know, really thriving, tight-knit Native community. But it is that idea that, again, you know, we're celebrating our similarities and our shared values, but we're also celebrating how we're unique.
Yeah, absolutely. And Shannon, you know, it starts at 5 and then it goes to 6:30. And I like it. It's a mix and mingle, you know, and hanging out. And again, the Fauché is an awesome building. And it was made by the same person that made or designed designed the Empire State Building in New York.
Okay. Love the idea of the architecture to tell our story, right, Robert? But it's one of those things, you know, where, like Kate talked about, it's an opportunity to reengage. You know, I mean, we all have foundational perspective, and we all have threads that enjoin us in different ways, but we also celebrate our uniqueness and diversity, and it's just another way to amplify that. You know, coincidentally, I'm sitting in my hotel room. I'm in Pioque at Santa Fe. I'm at the Violence Against Women's consultation. So we have our annual consultation for violence against women. And so it's an interesting time, you know, where we're talking about celebrating women, but we're also here talking about how do we protect our women and our indigenous relatives, right? And from not just the lens of just, you know, from a sovereign lens of that of, okay, so as nations that self-govern, what does safety look like in our community? What are the unique challenges that we all face to protect our, you know, relatives? And then certainly we're not, as everybody I'm on this call knows, but for your audience, tribal nations are not just race-based, we're politically based. So we have a unique relationship with the federal government for the treaties that we entered into for the dispossession of so many things we lost. But what I will say resoundingly is the one thing we didn't lose in all of that was our spirit and our preservation. You know, we persevere absent any of the challenges that we have, you know, since I always say we've been dealing with challenges for 500 years. And, you know, as you see the climate and the environment change, so does the adaptability and the capabilities of Indigenous communities. And I truly believe Indigenous people, especially Indigenous women, have a lot to teach the world about, you know, our strength, our resilience, and how we navigate the world, because they represent the backbone and lifeblood of our tribal communities. They bring, I mean, they have the most superpower, right? They bring life to the world. Does it get it any better than that?
Well, I agree 100%. And, you know, we're led by our Native women, and I'm glad you brought that up. Kate, we're going to take a quick break here. We're with Kate Nelson, award-winning independent journalist, Alaskan Native, and also President Shannon Housley, president at Stock Bridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians. And it's really good to see you again. I think the last time I saw you I was wandering around in Washington.
I think we were at a we were actually at a rally, Robert, for the Hallin versus Brackeen case with the Indian child welfare case. It was being heard at the Supreme Court level.
Yeah, definitely. And it's always good to see people like yourself out there supporting all these causes. And I know you're a doer, and it's great to hear from you, Kate, too. We're going to have another segment here and talk a little deeper and about these issues. And Kate, I just really appreciate meeting you for the first time here on Native Roots Radio, and our audience is really lucky to hear from two strong women, along with our producer Haley, making it three strong women. So I'm always outnumbered in a good way. Oh. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick short break here. What do we got? About a minute? So,
yeah.
All right. Well, Haley, this is awesome. We have two strong women, and we're talking about a lot of good things that we love to talk about here on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. Please stay with us.
We'll be right back.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we are here with President Shannon Housley of Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians, and Kate Nelson, award-winning independent journalist, Alaskan Native. Really good to have this talk. We're talking about the event coming up, What She Said, Uplifting Native Voices, and that's this Thursday, November 21st, at the Fauché in downtown Minneapolis. Just look up. I know there's a lot of tall buildings, but until 1973, that was the tallest building in downtown Minneapolis, believe it or not.
I haven't been in there, but yeah, I heard it's going to be the event to go to.
Right on. So welcome. And President Housley, I want to ask you a quick question. You know, talk a little bit about your background and how you got to this point in your work. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. So, Robert, I'm going on 20 years in tribal government, 10 as the president. So that seems like a significant amount of time, but in tribal politics, it absolutely is. But I feel like I've always been civically engaged, but it was just a matter of, you know, we all find ways to serve our communities. And, you know, especially, I feel like, especially for women in my nation, we have been historically underrepresented. I serve as the fourth tribal president, but no tribal president as the first, number four as a woman tribal president. But I'm the only one that has made it past one term. So, you know, so the fact that I'm going, you know, on my fifth term is pretty remarkable. Like anything, we are all engaged in our tribal communities in some capacity. And I'm not title based. I say everybody is a leader in their own right. Everybody has a unique gift to bring their tribal nations or their tribal communities wherever that they are. And so for me, it was, you know, what my goal was to really bring a traditional perspective seated in our culture, language, and tradition, but give a 21st perspective of how we were going to navigate a system or an environment that wasn't necessarily designed for us. I always tease people. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm dual language. And they're like, oh, you speak your tribal language? I said, no, I speak English and I speak the oppressor's language. I said, because that's really we're navigating systems that weren't designed for us or with us, you know, historically. So I saw, you know, the challenges that we faced in our tribal community. And I felt like serving on the board of directors for over 10 years, I felt it was time for me to, I had gotten my education and I had done different things, but it was time for me to step up or step out. I felt like, you know, I really needed to bring my nation around things and help organize, you know. And interestingly enough, you know, I never thought in my lifetime, in my career, that we would be able to manage, you know, a pandemic, a global pandemic, and manage different things. You know, I'm a child, a descendant of all four of my grandparents and grandparents are byproducts of the boarding school experience. They all attended. And so, you know, and they have been through multiple challenges, including all of my grandparents were born before a time that they were even recognized as U.S. citizens. So it was a very challenging time, you know, but yet I through their resiliency and their quiet navigation, I took great strength in that. And I felt like I owed it to them. I felt like I owed it to myself to put myself out there and be vulnerable and say, if men historically in our tribal nation can do this, then so can women, for the simple reasons that I expressed earlier. You know, women are represent the backbone and lifeblood of tribal communities or communities in general. And so I felt like we needed to bring a different perspective, you know, where we, you know, were able to present ourselves in our truest sense, be vulnerable, admit we didn't have all the answers, but try to build community and consensus around that and build a healthy community. And so that was my primary goal and drive. I never aspired to be a tribal leader. I was literally, before I even ran for council, I was at a social justice event with Ada Deer, our dear friend Ada Deer, a former tribal leader, well-known in Indian country, who helped her tribe regain their federal recognition after being terminated. She's run for political office. She's just an amazing woman. And so we were talking and she was asking me, and so she's like, so what are you going to do? And I'm like, well, I don't understand what you're saying. She's like, well, you know what? It's time to put up or shut up. You know, it's time for you to get engaged. People, we need to have, women need to hold spaces and positions and help navigate. And I'm living proof that it's possible. So, you know, I took great strength and from that, but I felt very supported too. You know, it takes a village when it comes to these types of things, and it takes women to support other women in any capacity. You know, that's when you have healthy, thriving communities. And, you know, there is so much lateral violence that takes place in communities all over this universe. But especially you find that in tribal communities, especially with Native women. And, you know, and I was just like, I need to example what healthy relationships among women looks like. And I need to be able to demonstrate that by my actions.
Wow. Well spoken. And while we really miss her, too, she just passed on just recently. Kate, what brought you to this point of your career and your life? What brought you to where you're
at? You know, I, despite being Tlingit, I grew up in northwestern Minnesota, the internet. You know, there are probably some people who have never experienced that, but magazines were how I connected to the greater world outside of my small farming communities. So I always knew that that's what I wanted to be doing. You know, came down to the University of Minnesota, studied journalism, started working in magazines, specifically lifestyle topics. So culture, art, food, travel, style, you know, all of these topics that I think everyone can really access. And I was, until very recently, the editor-in-chief of a local magazine called Artful Living. And, you know, it was really in 2020, after George Floyd was killed, that I think so many of us reflected upon, are we doing greater good? Are we, you know, contributing to greater good with our time and our talents? And so how I got to covering Indigenous topics for, you know, national, international media outlets started innocently enough. I wrote one story about Chef Sean Sherman opening up the Wamni, and that really made it clear to me, you know, what a need there was for our stories to be told at this national level on these big platforms, and really to be accessible for non-Native audiences, which I think, you know, our non-Native allies play such an important role in uplifting Indigenous voices, in uplifting tribal sovereignty. And, you know, since then it just really blossomed organically. And now I'm focused on that exclusively. And again, it's still those same topics: art, culture, food, style. And I think, again, those are accessible ways for anyone, but specifically non-Native audiences, to learn more about tribal communities. And it's a way for, you know, you might, like Shannon was saying earlier, you might really admire, let's say, someone's style, or you might think that someone's food is really delicious. And I think that that's a way to start a conversation. So that's really, you know, what I'm trying to do with my work. And I hope that journalism, unfortunately, still just has such gatekeeping, you know, in terms of what needs to be in place for people to be successful. So typically includes that four-year college education. It's about who you know. And, you know, there are so many marginalized talents who might not have access to those things. So I really hope that I'm not only, you know, bringing voice to our stories, but helping break down some of those barriers, so that, you know, by the time that I'm retiring, I hope that there are dozens of Native journalists who are telling our stories at these levels.
Well, Kate, I hate to tell you, but our work, we never retire.
I know.
Right, President Housley?
No, they don't let you retire.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. And I'll tell you, Kate, too, how important your work is, because there are so many people out there that want to support Native businesses, Native stories, Native restaurants, and do it in the right way. So that's really important to the larger community, not only are us Natives, but, you know, we're still here, and we go through that conversation all the time. And, you know, just to blow our own horn, you know, we're on 30 stations now and have over 200,000 listeners. And woo-hoo! People I run into, yeah, long, that's a little incredible. Different when you were first on the show, huh, President Housley?
It's still just as important today.
Yeah, and, you know, and it is important that we run into the community, that how many people do listen, and how many of our white allies out there really appreciate your truth and President Housley's truth?
Well, and I think the more of us who can be doing this work with, again, whatever it is that, you know, we have been blessed with in terms of our talents, and just helping really shout our stories, shout our perspectives from the rooftops. There will never be too many of us in this work.
I agree, Kate. And I think, just to your point, that medium, right? It's to create, not only to celebrate our diversity and the unique gifts that we all possess, but also it's to create allyship and educate people about the the significant contributions we've had to this country since time immemorial. And so, to your point, it invokes conversation. It invokes a safe place for people to ask those questions, and it helps build understanding, right? And it actually creates a level of visibility for young people who often feel invisible. They feel unheard, unseen, and invisible in the larger landscape of the country we live in, even the world we live in. So that is another way to celebrate that in a medium. That's multi-layered, multifaceted, and it also allows us to control our narrative because, you know, many things have been written about us, but it's his story, right? So we have to make sure that we engage in the message and how we want to be presented. And it takes people like Kate and Haley and Wendy and others, and even you, Robert, to get those platforms and mediums out there so people have a way of reaching out to us and within us and to better understand or conceptualize who we really are as Indigenous people.
Yeah, well, I could talk to you people for hours here. This has been great, but I just want to let everyone know it's an event called What She Said, Uplifting Native Voices, starting at 5:00. There was a mix and mingle and then a panel discussion at 6:30 and then cocktails and connections. And I want to give a quick shout out to Melissa Olson, award-winning reporter at NPR, who's been on the show many times, that she'll be leading the way there. I want to just say a big peeny geegee, Kate, for coming on. Great to see you again, President Shannon Housley.
Always, Robert. Thank you, Robert and Haley, for having us. We look forward to it.
Right, yes, on. The pleasure is all ours, and hope to see you on Thursday.
Yes.
Hey, all right. I'll be there. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
We are a Lusa nation.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do, and what a great sponsor and supporter of Native Roots Radio and our community especially. Hey, I'm here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're talking a little Native American Heritage Month stuff, and I know so far it's been an interesting Native American Heritage Month, but also things to look forward to, and I know there's a powwow for young people and for everybody in the community at Ames and St. Paul tonight from 6 to 8. I was part of the adoption powwow this month. That was awesome. And it was all day and night and turned into a really big powwow and celebration of people coming back to their people. And I just am really excited for the rest of the month and to focus on our Native heritage. Mary, one of the things, State Senator, that I've been reminded too after this election is that in 500 years, we've been dealing with this kind of thing for a long time. So as Native Americans, we're resilient and we're still here. And that's what I like to talk about, us being still here and still fighting the good fight. And there's no way they're going to erase us no matter who or how they try.
Nope, they're not.
It's just not going to happen. If anything, we can look over the last decade and how empowered we have become in all the different areas possible. I know at the federal level, there are a lot of Native folks that are going to be removed from very important positions, like Deb Holland and my sister and so many others. But that's not going to stop any of us from doing the work that we're doing in our communities and with our communities and bringing the education, the information to that. It's so interesting. Things happen now, or people ask questions that they never would have asked 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years ago. There's going to be an event at the Capitol in one of the kind of big lounge areas up on the third floor of the Capitol. And in that room are the two paintings that were removed from the governor's reception hall, reception area, that depict, first of all, the lording over of Christianity with Father Hennepin standing at the rapids with Native Americans looking up, in adoration at him, and there's a bare-chested woman, insensitive, uninformed information. And then, of course, also the treaty where they took all the Dakota land. And the question was, if we have this reception here, will you find that offensive? And never would have anybody asked me that question even 5 years ago. And so I think we are still going to be able to do the work that's important and continue to bring awareness to the plights of, the historic plights. I mean, with Biden making the apology, there's a lot of people are like, I don't even know what he's talking about. What is that?
Right.
So in every instance, we have opportunities to enlighten and educate people. And I love that we have all these powwows around, like you said, the adoptees that have come home, and the foster kids, all the different events from areas that we never even think about. Like tomorrow I'm going to one of the unions has invited me to join them. They have, of course, Indigenous Native folks in their union, and they are holding a lunch and information time, and have invited me to join them and talk about the work that we do. I mean, in every little crevice we are breaking open those cracks and saying, we're still here. We're going to continue to do this work. And I'm just, like always, I just feel really fortunate to be in this time and in this place and to be able to do the work that we're doing, all of us together.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things last night was interesting. I had a chance to speak in front of a group of people. And one of the things that I reminded them that it's illegal for Ho-Chunk to be living in the state federally, and also all Indians for that matter. And they were in shock, and they said, why hasn't that been changed? And it's just like, I don't know, I guess they're not enforcing it, but that's a real thing that, a lot of people, like you said, are learning about these things slowly but surely. And people like you, it gets draining to be teaching our white allies this all the time, but that's what we do here in Native Roots Radio. But it's also a good thing that we have people asking those kind of questions too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had somebody send that to me, the fact that there's a federal law that says Dakota Indians this is illegal land for them to be on. And they're like, you have to change that. You have to fix that. First of all, it's a federal law and not something at the state level. So that would have to be something that our federal delegation would have to work on. But also in speaking with other folks, and I'm always learning, I said, you know, should we go up, get working on this? And they're like, you know what? The tribes really don't want that removed because it's a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a reminder of what they did to us. And I mean, there's no legal ramifications right now for that. But every time somebody brings it up, every time somebody learns, it's like spreading that information like wildfire. And so it is a constant reminder of, you know, what happened. And sometimes we, you know, we always want to fix everything right away, but sometimes we need to just leave that icky stuff sitting there so that mm-hmm. it provides that opportunity to educate yeah. folks.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how we left it too, but that's a really good point. And yeah, and one of the things too, State Senator, I know you've experienced this as an educator, but also as a representative and a state senator of Minnesota, is that we're really happy and proud of our young ones. We've mm-hmm. had a couple generations lost because of these boarding schools and all these things that are attacking us, and the young ones are picking up the mantle and really not standing for things. We have people becoming educated. We have lawyers, doctors, and things that we didn't have 50, 60 years ago are really coming to fruition in a good way for our young ones to take the lead and really not stand for any of this nonsense that our relatives had to.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I agree with that. And where they used to bury the hurt and the pain, where they would not go looking for help in any way, shape, or form, just kind of swallow it. Mm-hmm. And how did it come out? It came out in abusive relationships. It came out alcohol and drugs, you know, self-medicating. But now we have, and we recognize the trauma and those kind of perplexities that come with it. And the beautiful thing is we have resources. You don't have to stuff all those things down anymore. You can look for resources, or you can, people who love you and recognize what you're going through probably have some ideas and resources for you. So where before there was nothing, there was nowhere to turn, there was no help to be had, we have, you know, through our own selves and through the government or whomever, you know, built up some really great places and people and approaches to healthy living, like how to build your family again, because that was probably one of the most disastrous things that came out of it.
Yeah. Haley, we have an opportunity a couple times a month with Little Moments Count to talk about these great things that are helping young mothers. And then also, you know, one of our longtime sponsors is the Native Helpline.
Yeah.
And those things weren't around.
No, not at all. And like maybe resources for other communities, or maybe cultural specific resources for other communities. But like we talk about all the time, we're so underrepresented that people, you know, before never thought that there were Native resources that were needed specifically to the culture, you know, and that, you know, you mentioned Strong Hearts Native Helpline, who's, you know, an SA and you can call them, it's free and it's all the time, and they have Native people to talk to. They're all Native, and means a lot.
Yeah, it really does. And those things, and if I remember correctly, Haley and Senator Mary Kunish, I think they started right around the time we did. So it's amazing to kind of have that kind of outlook about having a show like this that's on 5 days a week all over the country, mm-hmm. and let our allies know. Like I said earlier today, I ran into a bunch of people that are just grateful to have, you know, rock star guests like State Senator Mary Kunish on to talk about what's happening and real things and what's Native and how you can support us.
Yeah, it's so interesting, too, to see how, you know, it used to be like a one-size-fits-all. If you have an alcohol problem, go to AA. If you have this, go to that one. And it didn't like connect with the spirituality or the cultural significance of our Indigenous people. And, you know, and I know firsthand folks that have really struggled with addiction all their life, went through a few different programs, and it wasn't until they finally got a culturally specific Native American, American Indian rehab program and support system that they were able to kick their habit. And we're seeing more and more requests of that at the legislature to say, let the funding happen in our cultural way, let the system work in our cultural way, and what a difference it makes. So thanks so much, and Wolfie LaTonka, you guys.
Well, thank you, State Senator Mary Kunish, and can't wait to talk to you next week. Thank you for doing all the work and coming on and speaking your truth. It's very important for our listeners, and I know that by talking to them. So again, big peeny gigi for coming by.
You bet.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back, Haley and I, after this short break.
Stay with us.
KFAI is proud to present the Cafe Accordion Orchestra at the Dakota on Monday, January 13th. Dan Newton and the Cafe Accordion Orchestra brings to the Dakota an evening of dancing to the sounds of swing, ballads, tangos, cha-chas, rumbas, and cumbias to create a wonderfully varied show. The special performance will feature Prudence Johnson on lead vocals. Tickets for the Cafe Accordion Orchestra can be found at the Dakota website. Visit dakotacooks.com for more details.
KFAI is proud to present Twin Citizen at the 7th Street Entry on Friday, January 17th. Twin Citizen is a Minnesota-based band that incorporates a vast spectrum of musical styles and is dedicated to a unique and accessible style of indie rock music. Opening the show are fellow local acts Airlands, Joe Bartel, and Larry Wish. Tickets for Twin Citizen can be found at the First Avenue website. Visit first-avenue.com for more details.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, did I blow that, Haley, or what?
I think you forgot.
Let me just, I was there just reading our show notes here, and I got out of control here.
That's okay.
Phew. Hey, we're here with Irvina Martin and Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're talking about cabinets. But I want to just mention a quick thing before we get back into that, and that's we happen to have talking to the president of Stockbridge Muncie yesterday, and what a great leader she is. And it was great to have her on, and I haven't seen Shannon in a while, and it was really fun to catch up. But we have a lot of great tribal leaders, and thank goodness for that.
Yeah, Shannon has been a really effective leader in Stockbridge Muncie. I'm Stockbridge Muncie through my dad's side. And so, you know, she has done so much for the Stockbridge community, and is really a strong voice for her constituents. For the folks that she serves, you know, she gives her all. And I, you know, it's really exciting to me to see such a dynamic young Native woman leader, you know, in the rooms making decisions. I'm a fan, if you can't tell.
Well, so am I. And I didn't realize there was a couple things that it sounded like there's only a 2-year term. And she's been reelected 5 times. She's been president for 10 years, which blew my mind, those two things.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when you're Ho-Chunk and your president changes every term, you know, we're not used to more of the same longevity. But, you know, I think that you know, having someone in office that knows what they're doing and having that kind of continuity is really, really great and leads to so much, you know, the longer that you are in that particular position, you know, the better you are at it. I mean, in theory. So, you know, there's plenty of people that coast, but, you know, you'd think that they would be the most efficient and in terms of getting things done, working with other people, you know, all the qualities that you want to have in a leader, you know, they're able to hone during their time.
And it's a good time to have good leaders because we're going to be dealing with Project 2025 and be able to keep our sovereignty and stay on top of things and not fall asleep behind the wheel. So it's a red alert time for a lot of people, including tribal nations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was looking earlier at the potential nominee for the Department of Interior, and it looks like he wants to appoint Doug Burgum, who's the governor of North Dakota. And it sounds like we have, you know, there are like all of these like atrocious nominees, and it sounds like maybe this one might not be so bad. It sounds like since he, you know, is from North Dakota that he has familiarity with tribes and tribal sovereignty, and fingers crossed, you know, that he kind of keeps working that as opposed to whatever fresh hell is in Project 2025. I know I tried to look up things that would have to do with tribes, and there was like we were not in there. As far as I could see, I don't know if anybody else has tried to do the deep dive and see what something together, but I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I'll have to send you that. I got some pages and some paragraphs to send you. So it is red alert, but also too, when you talk about the Dakotas, I hear Kristi Noem's name mentioned, and she's been like exiled from 11 tribes you can't come on in her state. So wow.
I mean, maybe we need to start using these tools that we have, like banishment. Maybe we need to start using them more often, because, you know, I could see her getting an interior nod as well. But if you're banned from all of the tribal communities that you already represent, you know, how you're going to make it 570, whatever, however many tribal communities there are in the United States, get banished from all of them. So.
Well, and close the borders, which is interesting. In Dakotas, they tried to, and I know some of our friends too down south were able to during COVID close the borders.
Oh, that's interesting that you know, tribes having that kind of ability through their sovereignty to be able to enforce borders and such. You know, it'll be interesting to see how that relationship develops between the federal government and tribes, particularly for tribes that are near borders or on borders. Mm-hmm. You know, what anything that has to do with this guy, this next incoming guy, you know, I know that I can't I don't want to anticipate what he's going to do, because somehow he always ends up doing something worse than I anticipate. You know, so.
Well, we were able to statewide with our attorney generals, a lot of them block a lot of his bad legislation in round one, and hopefully, I know we're revved up here with our attorney general, Keith Ellison, is talking about that openly, and I appreciate his candor in that they were able to stop quite a few things the first time around.
I mean, we need to be looking at all the tools in our collective toolbox, you know, and making sure that we're utilizing the judicial branch in terms of vetting these rules or these laws that are they're attempting to pass, you know, so that we can really like weed out the ones that are the most dangerous and the ones that are going to do the most harm to so many people. And so absolutely judicial action, prosecuting, you know, suing, like that's another tool in that toolbox. And we should use all the tools that we can, because, you know, just the stakes are so high.
Well, and again, Haley and I earlier in the show were talking about, Haley, you want to bring that up, where we had some relatives, Native relatives, kids walking out there, and some people were calling the feds on them because they were illegal immigrants.
Yeah, I think I sent you that video, Arvina, the students on the field trip, the Native students in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Yeah, I watched that. It's wild.
Yeah.
My jaw's on the ground.
Right. So, well, it's so, again, I need to get that baseball cap that I saw.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial community powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting.